Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back into it here. 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Wagons, and Mac Mott. All right. Summit Pizza collabs with Jazzy B's. Sign me up. Love both those places. Very close to my crib in Lee Summit. Don't forget, I'll be at Community America Credit Union. Blue Springs, 11 to 1. Prizes, tickets, cheerleaders, KC Wolf. Come out and say hi. 11 to 1. Also, Foaling Friday.
Yeah, it is. It's Foaling Friday. That means you get to foal for free from 2 to 6 every Friday in October. And, of course, you can check out their great drink specials. They got seasonal beers and drinks ready to rock and roll. But just go into Foaling at 435 in State Line. Tell them you heard it on 96.5 The Fan, and they will let you foal around for free from 2 until 6 o'clock. You got to get in there before 6 o'clock to get your foaling for free. And they present, Foaling Warehouse does, what's in the script, as we do every week, and let you know what's going on with the Chiefs this weekend. Who wants to get this thing started? Brought to you by our good friends over at Foaling. FoalingKC.com.
I have fun. Mac, you want to start? I feel like we never let you talk or start.
No, both those things you let me do, and okay. I will kill it as I usually do on the script right here.
No, we don't let you finish.
Okay. Not doing a lot of that lately. Las Vegas fans, like our guy Kramer here, they want to act like this doesn't matter how badly they get beat this weekend, but it does. And they'll regret saying that after complete domination. You know, I hear Kramer, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't care if we lose. I want Shedeur Sanders. I want a quarterback. Raiders fans are all around. I don't care. We want to lose this year. We want to tank. No, you don't. You're going to be sad.
Do you think Shedeur Sanders is going to be the savior of your franchise? I'm asking. I'll ask that about any quarterback.
Because he would be a great Raider.
He'd be a perfect Raider, yeah. Right? But doesn't mean he's going to be any good, right? Like these teams and these fan bases that want to tank for quarterbacks are the dumbest human beings on earth, because 50% of these people fail and the other 50% probably get into a bad situation. So I just think it's so stupid when people say, I don't care if we lose. I want to get Shedeur Sanders, or I want to get Andrew Luck, or I want to get this guy. How many people wanted to get Patrick Mahomes other than Binkley after that season? Nobody.
Well, I don't think Kramer's dumb, so.
No, I don't think Kramer's dumb either, but I think he's going to regret saying that he wants to be beat, because it will be complete domination that will unfold over this weekend. I see a defensive touchdown in this game. Pick six, actually, from Nick Bolton is going to be my guess here. I think DeAndre Hopkins is used around 50, maybe a little over around 60% of the snaps, has 5 targets, 4 catches, 50 yards. I'm actually going to up that. 6 targets, 5 catches, 70 yards. I do think he gets in the end zone. And I think we stay on the gray train. I think he's the second leading receiver, maybe first, right there with Hopkins, 60, 70 yards through the air. And Kareem Hunt continues to drink out of the fountain of youth this weekend. Another good day with a touchdown, at least one. Give me 34-6. And honestly, every Chiefs weekend, if you're looking for that parlay on FanDuel, DK, wherever you go, 2 touchdowns, Kareem Hunt is not a bad long shot every freaking week.
All right, this week is the one we've all been waiting for. I've been telling you about this game since the schedule came out. Popcorn emojis received on my text phone from people about this game inside the organization.
Text phone.
Yeah, whatever the hell that is. The Chiefs are going to light up the scoreboard and have their biggest point output of the season. So far, their biggest output of the season, what, 28 points last week against San Francisco. That's the warm-up for what we're going to see this week. Game starts with the Chiefs on defense. Raiders, of course, will go 3-and-out because, well, they're no good. The Chiefs will get the ball. First play of the game, Hopkins for a small gain, setting the wheels in motion for the blowout. Kareem Hunt again featured in the red zone, but it will be Hopkins and Kelce getting in the end zone for the Chiefs this week for the scores. Mahomes will have over 300 yards passing. DeAndre Hopkins will have 5 receptions. Chris Jones will come up with a big sack, and this is the week Trent McDuffie gets his first career interception. Chiefs win 72-0.
What's in the script for me? The Raiders are victorious in this game. Come on, I wasn't going to do that. No, I think Mahomes has 187 passing yards by the third quarter. Mahomes hitting that number this week will put him at 30,000 yards passing for his career at the ripe age of 28 or 29. And that'll be the big point after the game. Mahomes has 30,000 career passing yards. He's not even 30. Kareem Hunt scores. Kelce scores. When Kelce scores, fellas, and people listening to this on Monday, this is when they do the puppet celebration that I called back in July. Travis Kelce's yet to score. They've been waiting for him to score. One time he played the Raiders. I think he had 4 catches for 25 yards for 4 touchdowns. He eats against the Raiders. So I think he scores. They do some sort of puppet celebration. I do think Hopkins has 6 catches for 89 yards and also a touchdown. I think he has an explosion of a game. Welcome to the Chiefs, DeAndre Hopkins. The Chiefs will have 3 sacks and an INT on defense, and someone random will catch a touchdown on offense. Will this be the day that Chris Jones, number 95, finally gets to drink from the nectars of the end zone? I hope, and I hope that's what it is. 95 gets a touchdown. End result, the Chiefs go full Mr. Geppetto on the Raiders, and they win this game 38-3 and improve to 7-0. That's the script from Dusty Likens.
How do you see the Raiders getting 3 points?
Because Antonio Pierce will be down 38-0, and he'll be on the 20-yard line just to save face. He'll kick a field goal.
Okay, that's fine.
That's what he did last week. He was down by, what, 10, and he kicked
a field goal?
Kicked a field goal.
Was it 10?
No, he's down, what, 8. Yeah, he's down 8. And with like 4 minutes left, decided to kick a field goal, and they lost 20-15.
Right, yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. Stupid situation. Stupid. Are the Oakland Raiders. I think the puppet celebration could be fun, or they just totally ignore it. It's going to be one or the other. It's either going to be like Travis Kelce putting his hand up Patrick Mahomes' shoulder pads in the back and doing that kind of thing, you know, or they're just going to totally ignore it and just go out there and pace these idiots. The team's never going to learn. They just aren't ever going to learn that if you poke the bear and the bear is named Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not only going to kick your ass, they're going to devour you, they're going to eat you, and then they're going to poop you out. I mean, this team has no idea what's coming for it on Sunday.
Snakes don't eat people. Oh, that thong? Anaconda, 1996. John Voight. That is what's in the script presented by Foaling Warehouse. Get your foal on a Friday.
That's right. Free Foaling Friday from 2 until 6. Reserve your lane at foalingkc.com.
Something I didn't think would be in the script. I don't know if you guys, this is random. I went to a concert last night at Knuckleheads. Great venue. First time I've been inside of Knuckleheads. Been to Jay Rieger multiple times. Gone down the slide. Done the whole thing. Whatever. Do you remember that yodeling cowboy that was in Walmart? There was like a little kid. His name is Mason Crosby.
Mason Ramsey.
Or Mason Ramsey.
Yeah, he's not the kicker. Yeah. I remember him.
Dude, I saw him live last night.
That's crazy,
he was inside Walmart.
When he was a kid, he's like the...
He went viral for yodeling.
Yeah. Remember that kid?
This was pre-COVID. This must have been 2017,
2018. Dude, he was in Kansas City last night.
Oh, God.
17 years old. Belt buckle the size of a Golden Corral
really?
Plate.
I'm surprised. I wouldn't guess he would be in Walmart and have a belt buckle.
No, he was in Kansas City.
Yodels.
Yeah. Dude, it was something else, man.
I bet it was.
He came out on stage.
Because
the people I was with, the girl that performed first, their family with her family somehow. And then like afterwards, they're like, oh yeah, here comes this other guy who's super talented. And was it Mason Ramsey?
Mason Ramsey.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
And I was just, well, here's how. I saw him on stage.
No, I mean Mac. Like, how did he know right away that the guy's
Nashville.
Name was Mason?
Probably Nashville.
That guy's down there in Nashville.
Yeah, for sure.
Country singer.
Yeah, he's
and he gets on stage. I'm like, this guy looks like a combination between Dirt Diggler and Peter Brady.
Okay.
And then I'm like, why does he look familiar? And why does that name sound familiar? And like a ton of bricks, I was like, that's the yodeler from Walmart. And next thing you know, I look at his name on the bed, type it in. I'm like, and the first thing that comes up is, kid, cowboy hat, yodeling at Walmart. I was like, I never thought that I'd see like a viral sensation live. Like, next thing you know, I'm going to be on Haley Welch's
podcast.
You see me
every day.
You're not a viral sensation.
No.
Holding all the doors, holding your hand just as fast as I can.
He doesn't sound like that anymore.
No, he does not.
I would hope his voice has changed.
It's dropped. Yeah. He was singing Roy Orbison, Hank Williams.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I mean, I'll see you in my dreams.
Yeah, I'd rather hear that than whatever this is. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't sound like that anymore.
This was when he was like 10 or 11, yeah.
I mean, dude, it wasn't good.
What Walmart was he in?
Probably somewhere where he's from.
Like Kentucky, I think.
Is he from Kentucky down there?
I think that's it, yeah.
Is he married to his cousin
yet? My brother's ex-girlfriend is from the same hometown. So like knows Mason or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So you got a connection. That's why you knew the guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I was like, well, how do you know these people?
I think what we should have, by the way, in the future, since the callers and texters love the script, we should have one person call in and give their script.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Because I think one thing that this show is relatable to is like everybody has their predictions, but no one ever really remembers them, right? Like a lot of times at the water cooler like Friday, you're like, oh man, I could just see Mahomes going off. And then like somebody will come up and be, hey, Randy, remember when you said that was going to happen? You're like, nope. Oh, I did say that, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, no, never.
Yeah. So it's like, I feel like and maybe the text line can agree, 913-586-7965. If you want to be part of the script, you could. It would be fun.
Yeah, we could come up with like a fun way to decide the caller or something. That'd be good.
First one in.
First come, first serve. Yeah. Okay.
Knuckleheads is a great venue.
Yeah, it is.
I've never been inside of it. Very cool. Good food menu. I didn't get anything to eat because I'd ate before, but man, they had like the soft pretzel with cheese.
Mm-hmm. Mm. With what?
Cheese.
Too hard to say cheese?
No, I just cut some things off.
Yeah.
Like I say, moit.
Instead of?
Because mm-hmm. I don't like the S in that word.
Instead of what?
He doesn't want to say it.
What's the word?
Moist.
Oh, moist? Why don't people hate that word?
I know people
My wife doesn't like it either. Moist, 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 moist. I mean, moist. It's moist. Who doesn't like a moist pumpkin bread?
Mm.
Why do people not like the word moist?
I don't know.
Like, why does it? It does. Like, people go, ugh.
This guy, you give this guy an inch, he takes a whole football field.
Speaking of you've never done that.
No.
Moist, 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 moist. Why does that bother people? Seriously, like, why does that word moist?
Why does this remind me of the scene of Meet the Parents when he's on the plane?
Moist.
Ugh.
Like, what do you think of when you hear the word moist? I think of a nice,
I think like the guy
a pumpkin loaf or a zucchini bread or something that is delicious.
I think the guy's forehead at Golden Corral cutting the prime rib.
Oh, that's moist. That's just sweaty.
Big time moist.
Like, I don't look at him and go, you're moist. I look at him and go, you're sweaty. Like you look at people and go, that guy's moist.
I am after the Chiefs win on Sunday.
Well, maybe.
Especially when my parlays hit.
You know, you're moist. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's weird to use for a person. I think it's good to use for pumpkin bread.
Yeah.
Brownies. You like a moist brownie?
Okay.
Right?
Bob's moist is like biscuits and gravy. That's where he cringes.
No, it doesn't make me cringe. I just ignore it. Like, I don't know that there's a word out there that makes me cringe.
I can think of a few.
There's now examples of things like smelling that guy's flip-flop that'll make me cringe.
Hey, you know that thing's moist.
That's moist. Oh, yeah, you know that's moist. But it's not the moistness that's the stench.
Ugh.
Or that somebody who left the dirty snot tissue. That's a moist tissue that's back there in the production studio.
Oh, boy. We get back into Raider Hater, and we get into our cover two over the weekend on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Vesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to Vesco and Dusty here on 96.5, The Fan. I hope you're enjoying your beautiful scenery of a very beautiful fall day. A lot of good fall colors.
Yeah, beautiful out there right now. Drive down Ward Parkway. That may be the most beautiful fall scene in all of Kansas City. And after last night's rain, everything's moist. It's great.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into the cover two at about 8:25, where we tell you the two things we are watching this weekend outside of the Chiefs game.
Moist, 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 moist.
Mm. Somebody says when they hear the word moit, it makes me think of Dusty's moan. Okay. We talked about earlier today about the Chiefs and the Raiders. And I find it weird that people hate the Chiefs because I would totally understand it.
What's hateable about them?
Winning.
Other than winning. What's hateable about them?
Having a cheat code at quarterback, having the cheat code at head coach. I think that, you know, you envy, which envy is just, I don't know. Hate is just love disguised by jealousy.
Oh, no question. And I think that's ultimately what it is because, you know, certain teams like, you could hate certain people on certain teams. Like Bill Belichick cheated, right? Like Tom Brady cheated, right? Michael Jordan played baseball. I understand why people hate like certain people, right? But there's nothing to hate about Patrick Mahomes. There's nothing to hate about Andy Reid. Like, they're genuinely great human beings who are just, you know, awesome, and you want to hang out with them and be around them and root for them. Like, there are teams like that you can easily hate for obvious reasons. Deshaun Watson, you can hate that guy because he's a creep, you know.
Watson,
there's, yes! There's just nothing hateable about this team. And I think that's, you know, part of the narrative that's going along with this is, like, people are just throwing their hands up and they're just giving in now because they do realize that, yeah, the Chiefs are just good. They're not a hateable organization.
Yeah, go to Denver, Los Angeles, or, you know, anywhere else that the Chiefs play and beat people senselessly all the time and ask them that question. But again, it's not like the Chiefs ever do the talking.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling out from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules. So you remember when Jordan was going through it with the Pistons, all those guys in the 80s before he came, Michael Jordan, Air Jordan, the Pistons used to whoop his. Anytime he came to the hole, elbows, feeling them, love taps. We touched them. We're in the head mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I'm touching you.
Mm-hmm. Roddy White had this to say about the Chiefs on Josina Anderson's.
The NFL has been very favorable to the Kansas City Chiefs. They should appreciate it. Because I'm telling you, man, they could, right now, they could be 1-5.
Could be 1-5, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get...
Wait, I just don't understand. They could be 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
Where? Which games?
I don't. I mean, I guess realistically, they could be 3-2.
Well, they could be 0-6.
He's going to tell you Baltimore, Cincinnati, Atlanta, and one of those last three. I don't know. I can get to 2-4 in his logic, but not
how.
You lose the Baltimore game, you lose the Cincinnati game, and you lose the Atlanta game.
Atlanta makes right
decisions. They won by 7, which is a blowout in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Okay, then they won the following week.
But those aren't the ones we're talking about.
I mean, I'm just looking at the. I don't know where we get 1-5.
No, hypothetically, I get it. 1-5. It's not there.
No, it's not.
And then Jack Jones, the defensive back, who had a pick 6 last year on Christmas Day.
Does that kind of help your game, just not having that intimidation by a guy like Mahomes?
No, I ain't intimidated by him. I don't think nobody in this locker room intimidated by him. I mean, it's good players all across the league. He a good player, so, you know, we see guys every week, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we focus on us more than we are about him, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, the media will make a lot about storylines heading in, but is there anything to that you think on the Chiefs' end that they're coming in with a little something extra in the tank?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, of course. I mean, obviously, get back. I mean, the video that we had at the beginning of the year, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a lot to go into it, but, I mean, it's not like we finna back down and turn it down. We're going to, you know, step up and do what we got to do and do what's necessary to try to come out victorious.
How do you guys kind of match up to that then? If they got something extra, how do you guys bring something extra?
Yeah, we'd be more extra than them. As simple as that, you know. We're going to match the energy and then add some energy.
Mm. So, again, not intimidated, which I kind of love that, right? You shouldn't be intimidated.
You're a grown man, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But you have to be, you know, smart about how you say it.
Of course.
Which, right? And... You know, maybe you could be like intimidated. No. I mean, you don't want it. You could be like, yeah, you don't ever want to have that mindset. You know, we respect who he is as a quarterback. We know we beat him last year, but, you know, we use that as motivation going forward. Instead, I don't think we're intimidated by anybody. Just ramble, ramble, ramble. And then Cam Stewart of Sirius, whatever.
I'm taking the Las Vegas Raiders against the Chiefs. I love this narrative this week. Oh, yep. The Chiefs getting better. Throwing more money on my money pile, my future bets, blah, 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 blah. I get it. The Chiefs are the best team in football. I'll admit it. Did I bet the 49ers like a stooge last week? Yes. Did I expect Brock Purdy to throw all those interceptions? No. Did I expect Deebo Samuel not to play? No. But here's the deal. The Raiders always play these guys tough. I don't give up. And when I see Patrick Mahomes doing his little stupid dance around the sideline, I want somebody to put him on his ass, and I want him to stay down.
Mm. What dance
Stop
is Patrick
letting
Mahomes?
This guy run the show. Stop being friendly to this team.
What he did last week in San Francisco, the little fakes and all that sort of thing.
Oh, that's considered a dance now instead of just a good football move and like deking somebody. Like in hockey, we used to call that a deke, right? Mm. Like you deked the guy. Mm. That's what Patrick Mahomes does. A little hockey involved there with Patrick Mahomes. I wouldn't call that a dance. I would call that being smarter than everybody else. And for that guy right there, like you're an idiot. Continuing to put money on bets against the Chiefs is a stupid move. And if you really, really want to make smart bets, bet on the Chiefs to win every single week. I know it's probably not going to be a great payout just betting the money line, But at the end of the day, you're going to be in the positive. You're going to be in the black, as they like to call it, if you have the opportunity to bet on the Chiefs every week to win on the money line. You're going to make money on that. And so for those folks who continually bet against the Chiefs because they think it's due or it's going to happen, you're wasting your money. Just give me your $20. Give me your $30 or whatever the case may be that you're going to bet against this team to lose because you're just throwing money out the window. This team is on a mission. This team has set goals for themselves. And the one thing that they want to do more than anything else is be the greatest team that has ever lived and the greatest dynasty that's ever lived. You go undefeated and win the Super Bowl, you accomplish those goals. And you know what? Patrick Mahomes wants that more than anybody inside that locker room, more than Andy Reid. I don't think Andy Reid, we go undefeated, great. We don't, no big deal. We win the Super Bowl, great. No big, you know how Andy is, very, very understated. But this matters for Patrick Mahomes. And that's where we get back to the conversation we had earlier about Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers and leadership versus not leadership and guys wanting to play with Patrick Mahomes and not with Aaron Rodgers. If the organization and the players in this locker room know and understand how important this is for Patrick Mahomes and his legacy, they will go out there and they will run the table because Patrick's not going to say, hey, for my legacy, I need to go 17-0. But I think this organization knows if we want him to pass Tom Brady now, go undefeated in the regular season, win a Super Bowl, you've passed Tom Brady. You've done something that nobody else in this era has been able to do, save the 72 Dolphins, and they don't count. They played a 14-game schedule and one playoff game. So you go 17-0, you win the Super Bowl. It changes the franchise's legacy, yes, but it also changes the legacy of Patrick Mahomes. It immediately makes him the greatest quarterback that's ever played in this league. And I believe that the guys inside that locker room feel that they owe that to Patrick Mahomes. And so they're going to go out there and they're going to play at a level that they haven't played at before in the regular season in order to make sure that Patrick Mahomes is the head of the history books when it comes to who the greatest quarterback is in the NFL. And when you have a guy that everybody wants to win for, like Patrick Mahomes, and win with, they go out there and they execute. That's why these people on the national level that just continue to talk about ways that the Chiefs are going to lose and who's going to beat the Chiefs and all this kind of stuff, it may be giving you content, but it's all gobbledygook. It's nonsense because the Chiefs aren't losing.
To the gabagool. You know what makes that even sweeter if they go undefeated, win a Super Bowl? Other than passing the Patriots' legacy and Tom Brady? You know who has to crown the Chiefs' three-peat champions?
Who?
Tom Brady.
Are they doing the Super Bowl this year?
Fox is doing the Super Bowl.
Oh, even more.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. So you thought John Elway giving Mahomes a trophy and Andy Reid was sweet.
Yeah.
Imagine the Chiefs winning a three-peat on an undefeated season and Tom Brady goes, there it is, your new three-peat champions, undefeated team, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah. Doing two things that Tom Brady was never able to do.
I feel like if the Chiefs go undefeated, everybody from that 72 Dolphins team would just die.
They're miserable old men.
They just sit around waiting for every team to finally lose their first game.
And then they make it
14-game season.
Go to bed, Grandpa.
Forever.
Let's have a champagne toast, but it's prune juice now because I pooped myself.
Let's get to the cover, too.
Oh.
Oh,
wait.
Thanks for listening.
Where are you?
Okay.
All right.
No, we do this every week. Cover 2, not sponsored yet, but somebody could step up. Normally there's NFL
Based
music.
Based on this, who the hell would want to?
Oh, man. Clean it up. Cover 2, sorry. I'll start this one. No, you're fine. Don't worry about it. My cover 2 this weekend, no surprise, Caleb Williams is number 1. He comes off of a bye week versus a very good team in the Washington Commanders. I don't know yet if Jalen Daniels is going to play. Obviously, they will evaluate him today. Essentially, if he practices today, he's going to play on Sunday. Commanders and Bears, big game. If Daniels doesn't play, it shows that he can if Caleb Williams can win. That means that Caleb Williams can prove to everybody he truly belongs in the Rook of the Year conversation. The Bears want to prove they can stay in the hunt in the NFC North. Minnesota loses again last night.
Minnesota got, done?
No, not at all.
Two.
No, they're not done at all.
In that division?
That's tough. But they
three teams are going to make it.
Yeah. But in the NFC North, you win. You kind of give fight that you're still there. You're competing with everybody else in your division, Packers, Lions, Vikings as well, in that NFC North gauntlet. And a win versus a big team like Washington will be a shot in the arm for Mr. Williams as his race for Rookie of the Year against Mr. Daniels continues. I'm really hoping that they both play. I would love to see that. That's a noon game. That's got all my attention, even though red zone. I guarantee you Hansen will be on that every single minute of every single opportunity. The other one is Miami. Miami's getting stale fast, man. Why? Because they're getting closer and closer to becoming the most hated team to me in the NFL. Tyreek Hill is cringy, yep. constantly tweeting. Then he's like, strike the band, the band's back together, start me in fantasy.
You know, when they say the people who talk a lot, they're trying to distract right. from everything else. Like, Tyreek Hill knows they're in such a bad situation, yeah. he's trying to distract everybody.
Tua's back. I understand people don't believe in the guardian cat, but again, it may not be the safest thing in the world, but at least it's an attempt to try something, and Tua's like, nah, I'm good. You know, don't worry about me. I'm fine. Well, I do want to worry about you because I've seen you lying helplessly on the field three times in your career already, and you're not even 30 years old. Not only that, at practice the other day, they were playing that I Put That Blank On by Antonio Brown, who we all know what his mantra is on Twitter, like CTE, whatever
yeah,
it is.
CTE, ESPN.
Yeah, he leans into it. He's a terrible person. And they're playing his song at a practice during a quarterback who just came out of concussion protocol for 6 weeks.
Gross.
I can't feel sympathy anymore, though, for Tua.
Especially with the right? whole team leaning into it. And then I wanted to like Mike McDaniels. I really, really did. But now he just gives me the kind of vibe of, like, the substitute teacher that's not really sticking to the script of what the teacher left him. He's just trying to be cool with the students. I think he wants to be Sean McVay in a very, very bad way. He doesn't wear the joggers like McVay did last night. He looked a lot better wearing them. And I really just hope Kyler and the Birds blow him out. Coming off a big win against the Chargers on Monday night. It is a short week, far travel, Arizona to Tampa Bay, or Tampa Bay to Miami. But look, beat Miami. It's just, to me, it's rotten. It's no longer fun. It's not a story that I care about. I thought the offense was fun a couple years ago. So I'm hoping the Cardinals get the job done. So I'm watching Caleb Williams against Washington. Hopefully Daniels plays so I can watch both of them. And then I'm just trying to see the train derail in Miami because a team that everybody felt sorry for and was kind of like hoping they'd do the right thing. You're playing Antonio Brown's music. You're not really addressing the situation in the room. You don't care. And it's old and it's stale and it's rotten and I'm over it. So I hope the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray go out there and blow them out.
Yeah, I think for the Miami situation, I'm not going to feel sorry for Tua anymore. You're taking now matters into your own hands. And I don't agree with the fact that Tua is playing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not. But I have a conscience and I know consciously it is not right for Tua to be playing in the NFL anymore. Now, play at your own risk, sir. And if I'm the NFL, I'm canceling his insurance at this point in time.
And my bad, the Bears in Washington, they play at 325. They move, they flexed.
They flexed that game.
Yeah, that's right. My bad.
That game has been flexed to a later game.
Yeah, yeah.
But my cover two this weekend, the first one I'm going to be watching is Baltimore versus Cleveland. And the reason why I'm going to be paying attention to this one is, again, I'd like to see Cleveland lose. But also, I'm now interested in Baltimore. I heard this week from Mike Greenberg on ESPN that there's no way he thinks the Baltimore Ravens are ever going to lose a game with Derrick Henry.
Listen, I'm sorry, I can't hear you guys. All that making fun of me you did when I said he's the MVP of the league. And oh, no, everyone yelled at me. He's not even the MVP on his own team. Derrick Henry is the difference. You watch that team with him, they are markedly different. Lamar is brilliant. He's been brilliant a long time. This team is markedly different because of that
you remember?
Hold on.
You remember?
So Lamar's not the MVP of his team just because he's been good for a long time?
No, he threw five touchdown passes.
Henry, I want to focus on.
In the same way that Randy Moss was the difference when he came to New England, Tom Brady was already a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But that elevated everything, basically to the point of being unstoppable.
Yes.
And that's what this guy has done. If this guy is healthy, nobody beats the Ravens.
Even though he was healthy and he had two losses to start the season, he's not the MVP because they're 4-2. The Chiefs are 6-0. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. So Mike Greenberg told me this team is never losing. I'm going to see what they want to do against the Cleveland Browns this weekend and see how good Baltimore can really be now that the pressure's on, because everybody's talking about the Ravens. How do they play as a 4-2 team versus an 0-2 team? And then the other game, Tennessee versus Detroit. Detroit is the biggest favorite they've ever been since 1996.
What is it, like 11.5?
Mac wasn't even born the last time the Lions were this big a favorite.
That's true.
1996, you have to go back to the last time the Lions were the 10.5-point favorites.
It's 11 and a half.
Is it up to 11.5 now? Yeah. I saw 10.5 the other day. But the biggest favorite they've been in almost 30 years.
Chiefs now 9.5.
9.5-point favorites. That's good. That's much better than the 10.
And yeah, they're up to 11.5.
11.5-point favorite. So like I said, the biggest favorite ever.
Wow.
I think Baltimore and Detroit are the two teams that obviously could go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. So I'm going to be watching those two teams from here on out to see how good they really are and to see how good Detroit's going to be without Aiden Hutchinson in that lineup on a consistent basis, right? They were good last week. They played Minnesota. Tough
no Jameis
game.
Williams either.
Yeah, I know. And that guy being out too now changes the dynamic a little bit. So maybe Minnesota isn't out of it, right? Because Detroit, I don't think they're going to lose to Tennessee.
Sam LaPorta stock.
But yeah, seriously.
To the moon.
Finally.
Right. So he's going to finally get some catches, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to watch Detroit because I do think they're the best team in the NFC right now. Yeah. Can they beat the Chiefs? I'm not ready to say that yet, especially with Aiden Hutchinson not in the lineup.
Well, yeah, and it's like if they can't rush the passer against the Titans, you know, I know Aiden Hutchinson, but then they may be on the move for a pass rusher. So that's definitely
better hurry up because we're Tuesday is seven. So they can watch Sunday.
Then they've got 48 hours after Sunday to really make a decision if they're going to go for it.
It's also fun to root for Detroit.
It is.
Like before the Chiefs won.
They're a good story. Myself included, hand of the sky. I laughed and mocked Dan Campbell on the kneecap. I was like, this guy's not going to work.
Right.
He's too intense. I was wrong. I was way wrong. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown story. He knows every receiver drafted ahead of him and their school. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be by the end of the season RB1 in all sorts of fantasy leagues, dynasty, full point, half point standard. And they're just a fun team, and I like rooting for them, and it's going to make it so much sweeter when the Chiefs beat in the Super Bowl and then become that much more hated.
I think we all like rooting for them because they've always been so bad, and
it's kind of like felt bad.
And then Thanksgiving rolls around, you watch them on Thanksgiving, it just feels right, and you forget about the Lions, and they're never on national TV.
And then you think the slipper's going to fall off, and it hasn't.
And it hasn't this year, right? And you know, I think they're the best team in the NFC. We'll see if they're able to keep that up.
No question.
And they got those black jerseys.
And the black jerseys add to it as well. Like, sexy. You see those uniforms, but their uniforms top to bottom, start to finish, beginning to end, they may be the best uniforms in the NFL, all told.
Binkley's in the house.
I told you he wouldn't be here until about this time.
Nailed it.
Cincinnati's season's on the line yet again. Okay, it's basically going to be that way for the rest of the year.
Long as they keep winning. As soon as they lose, I think
I bet you're rooting for them this weekend.
Who do they have this weekend?
He'll tell you.
The Jets?
They host the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend.
Actually, I'll root for Philadelphia in this
week. Really? Yeah. Wow, okay, I'm surprised. Yeah,
eliminate the Bengals. Get rid of them. Kick them to the curb.
That's fair. They have to win this game, so where are they? They're trying to see. They're 3-5. So if they don't win this game, they've got the Ravens at Baltimore in 2 weeks. All of a sudden, you're 4-7. You got to go undefeated the rest of the year. I think you'd be done. So
what are they right now? 3-5?
3-5.
So they lose this weekend, they're 3-6, right?
Yeah.
And so they would have to win 3 more games just to get back to even.
Yeah, that's one way to think about it. To me, you got to win 10 games to get in the playoffs. If you're 3-6, you got to go 7-1 the rest of the season. That's a lot to ask. So you need to win this weekend if you're Cincinnati. Yeah, and honestly, I'll be rooting for the Birds as well, even though I hate Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, I don't like anything about them. No, but I want the Bengals to be just
done. I'm done. I don't want to talk about them
anymore.
Oh,
I'm rooting for Cincinnati. I want Nick Sirianni done more than I want Cincinnati done.
I think he's done either way at the end of this season. Like I think so. You don't fire a coach. Loser organizations fire these coaches midseason. Like the Jets are prime example. They'll let him finish this thing out, and then they'll get rid of him at the end of the year.
Okay, so they're 3-4.
3-4.
Cincinnati 3-4, so they can get to 500 right now.
Oh,
so
the Bengals are 3-4.
3-4. Okay. Yep, changes a little bit.
But still, 3-5, then you're looking at week 10 before you're even back.
And you got to play at Baltimore. You got to play the Steelers twice, which isn't as much of a gimme as maybe some thought. And then now we're at this point in the NFL season where we are seeing repeat matchups. So you can tell we're kind of getting into the midst of this. Falcons versus Bucks a few weeks ago, one of the best Thursday night football games of all time. Mm-hmm. Kirk threw for over 500 yards. Well, those two teams are playing again this weekend. A little bit different of a story now. I want to see Baker without his weapons. Like, everyone's crowning him. Listen, I was wrong on Baker. I said he was a backup quarterback 2 years ago. One of my worst takes in the NFL in history. But, okay, he's great.
At least you admit your bad takes. Yeah, Some people stand by.
It's a bad take. One of my best friends, a Bucks fan, he's never let me live it down. I get it. Now he's got it. His two Pro Bowlers are out. What can you do?
Yeah, he's not Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
Don't expect much.
Feed the local kid who plays running back.
Nobody else in this league can do what Patrick Mahomes can do with
not
no
even
weapons,
close.
Right? And so, like, if this were the Chiefs and they lost Evans and Godwin, I'd be like, they'll be fine.
They got Mahomes. They lost
Hollywood Brown or Rasheed Rice,
and they've been fine.
Exactly.
Now they're not Evans and Godwin, right. But I mean, they're the one and two wide receivers.
They lost their ones and twos, right? As they say. But Baker Mayfield's not that guy I look at Baker Mayfield, I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter that he doesn't have Godwin and he doesn't have Evans. He's going to be just fine. Oh, and by the way, you don't have Andy Reid standing on the side. I don't even know who their offensive coordinator is. Not that I care. Yeah. Wouldn't know the name anyway. It's not the guy with the Kangol hat on anymore, who drove a taxi cab and then went
Kangol?
Down there. The Kangol.
Oh.
So I just don't think, like, I can't use the same logic that I use for the why not, Bob?
Because
Patrick Mahomes is better than everybody else. Baker Mayfield is a quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is a superstar.
So Bob covers Baltimore versus Cleveland and Detroit. I cover Kayla Williams and Miami, and Matt covers Cincinnati and the Falcons versus Bucks.
Let's do it.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll have our Richer of the Week, and then coming up at 9:15, Jay Binkley joins us for the roundtable. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
It's a new day. It's a Friday. It's a Red Friday. It's a Raider Hater Friday.
Don't go outside.
Is it cold?
Oh, it's beautiful, but a cow farted again up in Iowa.
No. Really?
It smells like a dirty grease trap outside.
That's not good.
You
went outside during that break?
I had to get something out. Like, I'm getting my car switched out because I had some work done. So.
There's a huge blank cloud coming. I think I smell it. Shout out Kingpin. Great movie. I don't want to get Munson in the middle of nowhere.
You will if you go outside and smell the air again, man. That cow up in Iowa, you got to stop farting.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. Don't forget, I'll be at a Community American Credit Union building in Blue Springs, my hometown. Shout out to the hometown Wildcats. They play Liberty North tonight, thanks to the text line. Anybody listening to Blue Springs, let me get on the field. Let me just watch the game from the field perspective. They let me do it one time. I want to do it again.
Just walk out there. Like,
do you know who I am?
No, just go at me. There's fathers out there all the time thinking they're the coach and think you can walk out there.
My kid's number 15.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pops.
There is a World Series game tonight. Not that anybody cares.
I think it's going to get good ratings finally. I think it's going to be one of the highest rated World Series that we've seen.
Yeah, it's Dodgers and Yanks. Garrett Cole on the mound versus Bueller, I believe. Is that right?
Is it Walker Bueller? Is he the guy? I think it is.
I should probably do my homework.
What's it matter? It's like we're going to sit here and break down Walker Bueller versus Garrett Cole. I mean, if you want that, I'm sure there's somebody out there doing that later.
Jack Flaherty.
Oh, Flaherty's getting the start. Even better.
Yeah. Mid-season acquisition.
Yeah, nice pickup for the Dodgers. They were going with a bullpen game, I thought, because that's what they do in the playoffs in L.A.
But I don't care. I will rather watch high school football. I'd rather watch whatever college football game's on tonight. I probably won't watch much of this game. And it's not sour plums. It's not anything like that.
No, you're a sports fan, and this is how sports goes other than football if it's not your team.
And it's not the fact that the Royals lost to the Yankees. The Yankees are a better team. It is what it is. They lost. They made the playoffs. I'm happy.
Yeah.
But I just simply don't care. Like, I don't care.
Would you care who it was other than the Royals, though, in the World Series? I think it's fine to say no. I mean,
I definitely wouldn't watch if it was Cleveland versus the Mets.
Right. Cleveland, like, Mets, nobody's tuning in.
But I'm like you. You gave a great analogy, I think, either this week or last week, where you're like, it's like college basketball, March Madness. Like, once your team's out, you're out.
You're out.
Now,
once your bracket's done, you're out.
Now, you can bet, which is fun, but I in the World Series, I would only want a live bet. I can't do that in Missouri unless we vote yes on two. But Dodgers, Yankees, who do you hate more?
Well, I hate the term hate because I was talking to actually somebody about this the other day, and it goes back to the hating of the Chiefs. Like, why do you hate the Chiefs? You hate the Chiefs because they win all the time, right? There's nobody hateable on the Chiefs. There's people that are hateable on the Yankees and the Dodgers. We all know that. But I think what it is that so many people in baseball have been turned off by the Dodgers and the Yankees because they took advantage of a broken system in baseball. And when people say to me, I hate the Yankees because they spend all this money, I say, no, you hate the way baseball is set up. You hate the fact that certain teams in baseball can spend $300 million on their payroll.
No, I
hate
the Yankees.
Certain people can spend $100 million on their payroll. If this was football and it was all even, the New York teams don't register in the NFL for the most part. Mm-hmm. The LA teams don't register for the most part in the NFL. You have teams in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Kansas City, Missouri, Cincinnati, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these smaller markets, smaller city teams, that have an opportunity every year to compete on the same level as the New York teams, as the LA teams, as the team in Dallas does. You know, these smaller teams have that opportunity because of the way baseball is set up. If baseball was set up the way that football was, I think that people would probably be more interested in the World Series, regardless of who was in it. But I think that ultimately the system in baseball has gotten to be so broken for a lot of people that they've just given up on the game.
No, I just hate the Yankees. I hate everything about them. I hate their stadium. I hate their little chant that they do where they say everybody's name. I hate Jazz Chisholm. Again, I think hate's fine in sports.
It's fine. Have the hatred.
I don't like their jerseys. Their jerseys suck.
It's the most iconic jersey in all of sports.
That's like your opinion, man.
It's like the number one brand in the world, you know? It's like,
I kind of have a soft spot for the Dodgers because I think Sandlot's one of my top three favorite movies of all time. Benny the Jet Rodriguez is one of my favorite characters in baseball because of who he is as a person in the movie. I know that they all became like weirdos in life, but Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
Are you talking about real life or are you talking about movie?
If you go look at the Sandlot characters, what happened to them? Oh, yeah. Smalls went to jail. Yeah, went to jail. Like, they're all, anyways. But like, the Dodger hat was like iconic in that movie. And I had a Dodgers hat when I was a kid because I thought I was Benjamin the Jet Rodriguez. I still want a pair of PF Flyers. Mm-hmm. Like, I want a pair so bad. And like, I'd be okay if the Dodgers won. I don't care, but just not the Yankees. Even though I do stand on business with believing that the Yankees will win the World Series.
Yeah, and
I think they win in six.
And I think they will. I think it's going to be a good World Series. I think there's going to be moments because you've got two of the most iconic players in baseball. I mean, you could say more, but Judge and Otani. I mean, let's call it what it is. Those are your two brand name players in baseball. You got your brand name players finally on the biggest stage in baseball, which is what every sport wants. That's why Patrick Mahomes, it's great for the Chiefs to be in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He's your brand. He is your league. Judge and Otani have become the face of Major League Baseball right now. It's good for baseball. Like, I think people always use this, baseball's dead, baseball's dying, and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
and it's not, though. That's factually wrong. It's just not dying. I mean, the TV ratings have been great. Stadium attendance has been great. More people are coming back to the ballpark and watching baseball now. I think people love the new rules. It's not dying. I hate when people say that because it's factually wrong to say that baseball is a dying sport when you look at what goes on. Ratings are down in everything but the NFL because there's so many other options out there now as well. If we just had channels 4, 5, 9 and whatever, then baseball would get a huge number. Football would get a huge number. All sports would get a huge number. But locally, baseball is as healthy as it's ever been, unless you're the White Sox.
It's healthier than it was in 98?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think in
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think in 1998, people were still talking about the steroids. They were. And
well,
obviously,
that didn't break out until like 2000. 98 was the home run race.
I'm sorry, the strike. I mean, the people were still coming off the strike. And people still talk about the strike today as to why they're turned off by baseball. But baseball's not. I mean, look at the revenues that baseball's generating right now. It's the second most watched sport in America. And again, facts. People think, oh, basketball's more popular. You look at these studies that people do of the most popular sports, the most watched sports, the most engaged sports. The NFL is by far number one. There's nobody even close, but Major League Baseball always comes in number two. And so I think Major League Baseball is happy, obviously, that the Dodgers and the Yankees are there because they get their faces on the national stage. The networks are happy. And I think it's probably going to be the highest rated World Series we've seen probably in a very, very, I can't remember the last, maybe the Cubs and Indians back in the day, you know, in 2016 was a pretty highly rated World Series. But I think this has got the opportunity to set some records in the last 20 years for how many people tune in to watch this thing. Because people will watch with hate, people will watch with love, and people will watch to see the stars of the game. And Otani's first appearance in the postseason has been a World Series appearance for him. It's his first appearance. Like, the world's going to be watching Shohei Otani. Yeah. And then Aaron Judge, people are going to be waiting. Can he ever have a big moment when it matters?
Which, you know? I think what you're describing are like outliers for why everything you're defending. You have the entire Japan culture watching because of Otani.
Yeah.
And then you have East and West Coast bias. Like, you have two of the major markets in the United States that are going to be locked into this World Series.
Yeah.
Which is why it will be that way.
Yeah.
So.
But I think when you have a team like the Yankees and the Dodgers, there's no middle ground. Like, nobody goes, nah, I'm okay with the Yankees or I'm okay with the Dodgers. There's legit hatred or love on both sides for that. And I think that's good. Like, if the Indians make the World Series, the Astros are a bad example because everybody hates them too. The Rangers or the Diamondbacks last year's, you're like, whatever, it doesn't bother me.
Right.
But you have a true feeling for the Yankees or for the Dodgers.
Two great points here from the text line before we go to the break and come back with Richard of the Week. Why do the Yankees sell jerseys with names on the back? That's not authentic.
I hate that. It's
not authentic.
So other people hate, like, I think it looks stupid.
Yeah. And then from the 816, Mr. Kaufman loved the Dodgers, and that's a big part of why the Royals jerseys look like the Dodgers.
100%.
Screw the Yankees.
Yeah, it's 100% why he did that. Yep, he wanted to be a class organization like L.A. and stole their uniform.
Plus, if there's one player that I can root for, have anybody on both these rosters, it's Mookie Betts.
Betts is a great player, isn't he?
Love that guy.
God, he's great.
What's a worse trade, Boston trading Babe Ruth or Mookie Betts? Boston's franchise has not been the same in baseball since they traded Mookie Betts. Has not been the same. And when they traded Babe Ruth, it took them 100 years to get a World Series.
86 years. I mean,
what's your talent?
That's a great topic. I wonder if they discussed that in Boston. Like, that's...
I'm sure. I mean, you got rid of Mookie Betts.
I would say, Babe Ruth's probably the second greatest behind Ohtani. I think it's safe to say Ohtani's the greatest.
Would you rather go Ohtani, Betts, or Judge Soto? Who would you rather have two batters up in the ninth inning to win the World Series?
Oh, Ohtani and Betts, there's no question. Because you can't rely on Judge. Soto, that guy's going to cash. It's his birthday today, too.
Oh, Feliz cumpleaños a ti.
How many home runs is he going to hit?
I don't know. He was amazing in that ALCS.
God.
Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Lights coming up on the other side. Richard of the Week on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.